Coming up on Patriots This Week, it was a tale of two halves.
You know, we were down 21-7 on the road, you know, our backs against the wall.
It was the worst of times.
You know, it tells a lot about a team whenever you're down like that and you just keep on fighting.
Then it was the best of times.
I think our team's got a good attitude. They work hard. They're tough. And I thought we showed a lot of heart.
Broken as a Colt, a nemesis returns as a Bronco.
He's a smart guy.
Now it's the latest chapter of the most intense quarterback matchup of the past decade. That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Call it a second half stampede. Call it what you want, but the Patriots powered over the Buffalo Bills with a running game that we haven't seen around here in over 30 years. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me each and every week during the football season, media maven and crepe connoisseur, Matt Chatham, former linebacker for the Patriots, and the man in the middle, everybody knows you, Jay Wiggs out,
yep.
Jermaine Wiggins. We get to Buffalo. We find out no Logan Mankins. And from first snap of that football game, I thought Sebastian Vollmer neutralized Mario Williams. From what you saw, Matt, the offensive line concerns going into that game. With your guy, Donald Thomas, in there in the mix, how do you feel they played up front?
The biggest change from week to week that we've seen is they're starting to work better at games. So, you know, when you get twists and other sort of things with from defensive linemen, they're handling those better, and it's because they've gotten to work together a little more. You mentioned Logan going down late. I think that was probably my biggest concern. Not that Donald was in there. It was that he now had to play left and not right and not center. He's moved around quite a bit. So usually it's more cohesiveness with the guy next to you, and he hadn't yet played with Solder. Maybe we don't know how much you got to practice right. together. So they did a great job.
They were able to run the ball. They were able to establish the run and win up front. That was the biggest thing. They controlled the line.
It's important to note that you mentioned Vollmer. He did a great job against Williams. Gronk ended up in cover or in pass protection against and handled him one-on-one a couple times. I thought was kind of cool.
What do you like most what you see out of Stephen Ridley and, more importantly, free agent rookie Brandon Bolden?
Well, it's the maturation of the offense. I think this is where I was hoping that it would eventually go to, because teams now have to match them in 11 personnel, which is one tight end and all receivers, and 12, which is with two tight ends. And the idea is they're having to match them with sub-personnel. So if teams are going to do this, and we're at this point, we're 4 weeks in, they're putting sub-defense on the field against 12 personnel with two tight ends in the field. So
right.
The idea that you're going to put tiny people out there against big people, even if they're spread big people, it's still the same people on the field. And then run from that formation. They did it.
Okay, you look at the final offensive stats. 76 offensive snaps, 40 runs, 36 passes. Jay Wiggs, this is back to the days when you played, man, when you guys had balance.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, balance, because what it's able to do is you go out there, you're able to run the football, establish the run. And the one thing that I always wanted the Patriots to do was just be committed to running the football. Well, maybe you might not be able to get a 100-yard rusher out of the game, but you'll go out there and run it 18, 20, 25 times. One guy can rush that football. And I think that's the biggest thing, is the commitment. And once you do that, you know, from a tight end's perspective, it opens up play action. It opens up so many different things. It allows Tom to hit some of those big plays where he's able to show that ball fake. You're able to pull a guard and run up in there and show play action. Then you get Gronkowski running down the middle of the seam, because the defense has to play the run game.
But you look at a guy like Brandon Lloyd. A lot of people think they're forcing him the ball, forcing the ball. When I watch it, I don't think they're forcing it. I think they're this close to busting this thing wide open. Now, the catch by him at the end of the game, phenomenal catch. But it seems like he's everything that we wanted Chad Ochocinco to be and never was.
I'm kind of on the other page. I think at times they kind of force him the ball a little bit. I mean, when you look at Brandon Lloyd, you say, okay, we want to establish outside the numbers, and at times it's almost like, you know, in order for us to establish outside the numbers, we got to get him the football. We got to kind of, you know, force it a little bit. But that's going to happen when you got a receiver that you want to get involved. You have to kind of force it, force the issue.
Yeah, and I like that they have confidence to go back to the guy when there is an issue. Let's be honest, the scouting report going in with Brandon Lloyd, we knew he was explosive, but he was known to make the excellent catch and occasionally drop the easy one. So that was kind of who he was. So you can't just give up because he puts one down, because you're going to get much more if you go back.
Yeah, it's good to see that they're phasing Wes Welker out of the offense. Seems like when they're in rhythm and when this offense is scoring, it's Brady to Welker.
Yeah.
And there was a point in the game, and I noticed that they took Rodgers to nickel corner, and they put him over Welker, mismatch. He hit him for four in a row, and Buffalo just kept coming out, bump and run, same thing.
If you go back and you look at that film, in the second half, they had their four possessions on first down, they went to Welker on, like, quick out routes. And just they went the beginning of every possession, they went to him. And I think that just shows the relationship that Brady has with Welker. It shows Welker's ability to just run that out route better than anybody.
Last year, I said if I died, I wanted to come back as Rob Gronkowski. This year, if I die, I want to come back as Brandon Spikes because he'll knock your head in the dirt. Yeah. Could that be the hit, the goal line hit by Spikes that he had on Spiller that Vince recovered right before the half that seemed to turn the tide for this team?
Well, you know what? I think that could be one of the hits, but the one thing you've noticed with Spikes, he's had a bunch of those hits. I mean, he had the hit, obviously, in the Arizona game where he caused the fumble. And that's the thing that, as a player, as a former player, when you look at, there's always one guy on the field that, you know, from the defensive standpoint, man, you're like coming across the ball, you're looking for this guy because you know he's going to bring it. I think Spikes is that guy. And when you can have that guy on defense, it just creates so many problems for an offense, especially guys that got to go across the middle because they know he's lurking.
On Spikes' big hit there on Spiller down at the goal line, Mayo actually hit him at the exact same time, and I think Mayo was actually the one that knifed at the ball and sort of sandwiched him, you know, Spikes high, Mayo low, and sandwiched him and pulled the ball out. I think what's interesting about that, sort of the backstory of all this, was C.J. Spiller's decision to play with a hurt shoulder.
Yeah.
That left shoulder is right where Spike's helmet was at, and his body just had to get the shock of a lifetime. And then at that point, it's not, you know, it's not toughness and being willing to play. It's just how well can you hold on to a football when you get hit by that wrecking ball.
But I think the true story is Chan Gailey. Why are you running C.J. Spiller
on the goal line?
It's a clavicle injury. Why not?
You have Fred Jackson that, you know, granted, he has a knee.
Who put it on the ground later, too.
Yeah,
the exact same kind of
But if you're going to pick your poison, you're going to say, all right, we're either going to give it to Jackson or Spiller at the goal line. I'd much rather give it to Jackson.
Hey, we got to talk about Devin McCourty because that's a guy, you know, was under fire last week and, you know, attacked in the media. Was he in the right place at the right time, or is it just a matter of, Matt, you watch him, is he just completing and executing the play?
No, did a good job this week. I mean, I think the things that I like to see is, you know, the picks are obvious. You're going to, you know, that, of course, that's a highlight. But better in his technique, you know, didn't get just beat off the ball, had some nice jams and reroutes. When it was cover four and you knew he was supposed to keep outside and on top leverage, he did. He tackled well, too. And I think all those little things, are when people are out there judging him, it's not just did he give up X big play, because everybody's going to give those up. And I think that's what the aggravation was from him and from some of the, you know, from his other teammates, that, hey, this guy makes plays all the time. We all knew that. It's just more the consistency issue. He had a great week.
We talked about a lot of good that happened in the Buffalo game. The one thing that really stood out, maybe the play of the safeties. Out of position, poor angles, some of that stuff. Again, it seems like a reoccurring thing every year. What do you do to fix it, Wiggy?
Well, I think it's all, and Matt.
The coach.
It's coachable. Matt brought up a great point talking with McCourty. It's about technique. And when these guys play technique and they play it the right way, they're there to make plays. I mean, if you look at the Chung play that the tight end scored Chandler, I mean, it was a great catch and it was a great throw. But you'll see Chung just step up for one step to play that little tunnel screen that they had in that bunch formation. That little step that he hesitated for, that put him in a position where now he was trailing this guy and he wasn't able to now turn and make a play on the football. So he's just running, chasing him down.
Quarter of the season is in the bag. Coming up next, some of the surprises so far. And boy, what's going on 3 hours south with those New York Jets? That's all next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. Celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
Brandon Bolden is this week's Putnam Player Spotlight. A solid contributor on special teams, the rookie out of Mississippi cashed in on his first significant playing time in the backfield. The 6'2", 220-pounder slashed his way to 137 yards on 16 carries. And the undrafted free agent bowled his way into the Bills' end zone for his second TD in 2 weeks. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. What is going on down in New York? The latest news, Santonio Holmes out for the season, Liz Frank injury, he's done. All of a sudden, the Tebow questions come up again. They've scored one touchdown in the last 34 offensive possessions. What are you buying? What are you selling down in New York? Should they go to Tebow, or is it Mark Sanchez's job to still have?
Either way, they can't win down there. I think their quarterback play from Sanchez has been god-awful. They've lost their best receiver. They don't run the ball like they used to run the ball. Their defense is, you know, now that Revis is gone, they're not really scaring anybody.
They still stink.
Yeah. So when you look at this Jets team, I think it's almost like, the warden, who is Rex Ryan, has completely lost control of the whole inmates.
Matt, last week you sat there and I talked to you about Revis, and I said, boy, can it get any worse for this team? Santonio Holmes goes down. Friday, Rex Ryan says, Darrell Revis might be back for the Super Bowl. Who's he selling that to?
No. Who's buying that?
Nobody. Yeah. I mean, no. Like, what do you do if you're Rex Ryan?
You put in the next guy. I mean, what else? What does any team do when you lose your best player? I mean, yeah, put Wilson in there. That's why I have a hard time being. I have a hard time judging Mark Sanchez as playing horribly, just personally, because, you know, do you drive a bad car that has no tires on it, no wheels, and it's missing three of the seats? I mean, the guy doesn't have three of his top receivers.
Dustin Keller,
Stephen Hill, the first-round pick, and Santonio Holmes. They have a revolving right door at right tackle. The running back, Sean Green, has not shown burst and just hasn't been that guy. Problems all up and down the team. So your quarterback's the problem. How can you judge if he is or not? There's really no way to tell. I mean, there's nothing out there. And the problem is the right back on the field. Yeah. When you lose 37-0, it's 3-and-out on the other side. You know, you're right back on. So I mean, what are you gonna do? I mean, is it his fault? No.
I think the Saints and the record of sitting where they're at. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest surprise that they're there. And Wiggy, what's yours?
My biggest surprise is the NFC West. You know, you look at Seattle, you look at Arizona.
Arizona's for real.
Yeah, you look at San Francisco. But I watched that Seattle game defensively. They get after the quarterback when they played against Green Bay. And you look at those teams and you're thinking, hey, wow, that day. You know, when you thought of the NFC.
They got Matt Flynn, huh?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When you thought that offensively is where they struggle. But when you look at that defense, you gotta look at them and say, hey, you know, that NFC West, just the way those teams are playing. Because before it's been, oh, NFC West, that's, you know, a team will go 7-9 and make the playoffs from that division, like the Saints, not the Saints, but Seattle did a couple years back.
Matt, your biggest surprise.
I would look at the same thing with, you know, all the young quarterbacks are having success. It's pretty cool. Is it a surprise? Not so much, because it just keeps happening. So you got RG3 out there playing great, and guys are coming in the first year and playing great right away. Ryan Tannehill, he's had a good couple weeks, the last couple weeks. All of a sudden, he looks like he might be the real deal. And then you got Luck down in Indy, who's having some success.
Dallas is a team that's regressed since week one. So that's good stuff at the quarter pole, guys. Okay. That's right, he's back. Peyton Manning returns to Foxborough, but as a Bronco. We get into that matchup and more when Patriots This Week continues. So the Denver Broncos come to town. No shocker here. We're going to take a look at Peyton Manning, and I'm going to tell you who is the most important person on the field, not Peyton. Right here, your slot defenders or your linebackers. If you're nickel, it's going to be your nickel guy. If you're in regular personnel, this could be Brandon Spikes. Remember last week, he let Chandler go up the seam. You got to hit people. Play fake, that's an easy one right there. Brandon Stokley running right up the middle in cover two all day long. Advance it. Next guy, Dreesen right here, a little offset back. Play fake. Watch the backers just a little bit to suck them up. Go ahead. Roll the tape. Here it is. There's a snap. Play fake. Right there. Got him. There you go. Cover two right down the middle. You can't stop it. Both those guys read it so well. And watch how he can move. For his age, you know, 30, 36, 37-year-old, he gets outside the pocket. Look at this throw. Nice little spot throw. That's against Atlanta after he threw three interceptions in the first half. So it's Peyton Manning coming to town. Better get people at his feet. More importantly, better hit his receivers. The Denver Broncos come to Foxborough with a 2-2 record. And guys, let's not forget, they lost to two unbeaten teams, the Texans and the Falcons. What's the freshest thing that you remember about Peyton Manning this season? Because all I can remember is that first half against the Atlanta Falcons where it seemed like, oh boy, that's Chad Pennington at the end of Chad Pennington's career. But it seems like Peyton's arm strength is back. What do you like about Denver and what you see so far?
Well, I think the thing about Denver is that Peyton Manning, his control of the offense, and I think that's the one thing that you've seen. The Atlanta game, that kind of was the misnomer game, because if you looked at, they did a lot of different things. They were able to confuse Peyton Manning, which is very hard to do. And I think maybe it was a little bit of crowd control. It's a little bit of the, you know, new offensive linemen, new team, new running backs. I think the thing that you're starting to see is that they are starting to kind of get into it. The more that they play, once they get deeper and deeper into the season, they'll get more comfortable with this offense.
Yeah, I totally agree with Wiggy. As he's in a new environment, it is a little bit different offense, but he still has that control element. He still will sit out back there in shotgun, you know, move McGahey from one side to the other. Zoe mentioned this earlier. He'll check to the short box. He'll go open side lead. He'll
McGahey had a buck 12 against Oakland.
Exactly.
Last week.
And he uses other guy, Hillman, which is really, really an explosive kind of change of pace guy. They use their backs in close, you know, the phrase F close, H close, where you use your back from the backfield, and instead of just running like little short routes, they're running right straight up the seam. And you'll see him check to a close route. I mean, just he controls the offense. He puts you where he thinks they're not going to be. That hasn't changed. Still throws with plenty of zip. Same old story.
Back in the heyday when he was with the Colts, though, he had Marvin Harrison. Yeah. Then it was Reggie Wayne, and then it's Pierre Garçon. You had Dallas Clark. But they were your quintessential great route running, you know, right. Torrey Holt-type receivers. Catch the ball specific routes. Demaryius Thomas, he hasn't had this type of receiver. Right. So your Peyton Manning, does it seem like he's trying to still get used to him, Matt?
He is an anomaly a little bit because he's just so big and so strong, but a little still unrefined.
Put McCourty on him?
You're going to put a lot of people on him. There's a lot of different ways to sort of deal with him. And then there's no one right answer. But I think what he is sort of a game breaker. And I think we go back to how the Patriots generally are successful. It's by taking away the game breaker. You don't want the broken play up the middle field for 80 yards. And now in this instance on the outside.
He has good players out there, but they're not the same type of players he used to play. You see him throwing a lot more screens to, like Thomas, who catches those quick screens.
But he'll take that. You know, that's the thing. He can run after the catch. I think he's big and strong. No matter what team Manning went to, they were always going to talk about the offense. It would always be about Peyton Manning, and you forget about the defense. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can forget about this defense. Jack Del Rio's there. You throw out the divisional game from last year. It's not the same defense. Yeah. Still have Von Miller. Mm-hmm. Still have Doomerville. They got this kid, Wolf, that they drafted first round out of Cincinnati, kind of like Chandler Jones on the end. They're active up front. They can get after you.
Well, that's what they want to do. They want to try to get after the quarterback because if you look at that back end, they still have pretty decent players. You got Champ Bailey on one side, Tracy Porter on the other side, and they want to say, you know, we want to rush for and get after you and make things happen. But they've still shown that they've been able to get beat over the top. I think Houston had some big plays on them in the game against Houston. So that secondary shown struggle a little bit. I don't know if it's the Jack Del Rio defense, if they're trying. Because you got to understand, Jack Del Rio is really a Baltimore product, a Ravens-type coach, where he likes to have a lot of different moving parts. And I was with Jack down in Carolina, where he wants to blitz a lot, but it's hard to do that if you're not really shored up on the corner position. I think Champ is one, but Porter struggled a little bit.
It's interesting that you mentioned sort of the pressures because as they were blowing Oakland out last week, play after play, they continued to show up 30 points, still pressuring. And it's a different kind of group. I mean, if you want to sort of make the analogy between Baltimore, which was a big beat you up to bring pressure.
I think they blitzed the last five plays,
This is more of a smaller group. Yep. I mean, they're smaller on the edges. They run both 3-4 and 4-3, so there's no sort of core concept there. But when they do 3-4, it's what we used to call guts, where you actually, instead of like the big Seymour and Bobby Hamilton or whatever, or Ty Warren, right over or tight to the tackles, they put them in the gaps. So it's like a hitting up the field kind of 3-4 defense. So it's different. I mean, it's not the same feel, but at the end of the day, it all boils down to pressure, and they like to bring it.
All right, sounds good. Coming up next, our picks. We'll tell you who's going to win this game and why. That's all next when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I'm Brian Lowe with the Fantasy Lowdown. Ponder this for a moment. Get the Vikings starting QB into your lineup, Christian Ponder, whose numbers don't jump out at you, but they will this week against Tennessee. Only one team has allowed more passing TDs than the Titans. Time to sit Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Not all hope is lost just because he's fumbled two straight weeks, but the former Patriot will be slowed against the Dolphins. And this week's sleeper, Jackie Battle, emerging as the starting running back for the Chargers, expect a touchdown against the Saints. That's the Week 5 Fantasy Lowdown, brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider of the Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. That's right, Peyton Manning puts a lot of pressure on secondary. So let's get to the picks. Is he going to have any problems or issues here in Foxborough? Matt, who do you like and why?
Yeah, I like the Patriots, and I like the way the Patriots are trending from a ball disruption standpoint. Six turnovers last week. The games that they've had a good fortune against Peyton, it's when they've forced those turnovers. You can't just expect them to give.
Give me a score.
Let's go 28-20.
28-20, that's closer than what you were leading me on to. But Wiggy, what do you got?
34-27 Patriots. The sheriff is in town, which is Peyton Manning. But guess what? He's going against the general and Tom Brady. I like the Patriots.
Wiggy thought of that line for the last week, so we had it all ready to go. Shocker right here, folks. I like the Patriots, too. That's right. 37 Brady and company put on the board. Manning only gets it to 16. I think they beat him by 21. That's going to do for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Join us next time and UCS on Patriots this week.